1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. If we get any interesting calls, you can be sure we'll put them on the air this hour. But in the meantime, we're very happy that you joined us. And if you'd like to hear a rebroadcast of our Rose Parade webcast, you can go to philhenryshow.com, pay $4.95. It's there on demand for you, this record-breaking, trend-setting, grotesque abortion of an attempt at humor is on the web for you at $4.95. Just go to philhenryshow.com. And I talked to the boss today. He was there in the lobby, the great Mr. Craig, and he said, "So, heard the webcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah, uh-huh. Okay." So he turned and got into the elevator. So that always makes you feel secure. I mean, it was vile, it was wrong, and we're going to re-perpetrate it for the benefit of our pocket. Let me just give you a hint. Should I give just a small hint? No, I better not. I don't even want to go there. Just go to the website. That's where you ought to go and sign up. $83,573.50 has been made on behalf of My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Los Angeles, with the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, and we're very happy to do that. So today is my wife's birthday, and we're going to have a little party for her, and she's a grand gal, beautiful woman. We went out last night, took the kids to get birthday presents for Mom, and I thought it would be unique. I said, "Look, why don't you guys do something different and buy presents for someone other than yourselves?" And, of course, they bellyached. Now, the oldest one got $500 for his birthday. I said, "How about you kick in a few dollars?" "What? You talking about it?" "Well, it's for Mom, you know." I know, but geez. Okay, I mean, you see, I had to gather them around. I literally had to gather them around me, and I say, "Okay, here's the idea. The presents we're going to buy, yeah, aren't for you." "Well, we're not quite sure how that works." "Well, what it is you buy something, you put it in a box, you wrap it up, and you give it to someone else. And why is that fun?" "Well, it's not when you're 9, but it will be sooner or later." So anyway, and I said to Maria, I said, "I'm going to take the kids out and get some presents for you." And she said, "Take them to Cost Plus." I said, "Okay." I mean, it's going to be easy, because she's always thinking about what a nightmare it's going to be for me to grab 4 kids and take them over to the thing. And so, okay. And then I take them over and I grab them. I said, "It's fun to do something for somebody other than yourself." Well, they're looking at me like I landed on the 415 saucer from Venus. "What do you mean? It's fun to do something for somebody other than ourselves. What's that about?" I said, it's neat, you know, it's you give and you know, and I'm looking at blank faces. No kid gets that. So I said, "Well, screw you guys, you're going and you're gonna do it anyway." "We don't wanna, you know, you're gonna have to. Now go in and buy a present and be happy about it. Get in there, come on, what'd you get?" And so one of the kids comes around the corner with a painting of a ship. "What the hell is that, man? You know, whoa, it's like a get out of here with that." I said, "It's for Mom. You know, you just don't go in and grab the first thing." He comes around the corner. He has a painting of Benjamin Franklin. "We give this to Mom?" "Why?" "Well, she can hang it up, like, and look at it and stuff." "Yeah, I guess she could, man. You know, what I could do is I could hawk one on the wall. She could look at that, too. Go get a present." So it took a while, and they finally came back. Well, what'd they come back? Well, I don't want to say, because my wife might be listening. Honey, if you're listening, turn the radio off, as you usually would do anyway. And what they did is they got her candles, because this is the thing, if you haven't noticed, and I'm sure every man in America who has any level of involvement with a woman has noticed by now, most women, in fact, all women, at some time during the course of a week, will take a bath surrounded by candles. This is a new thing. Well, it's not new. It goes back probably, what? Taylor, don't you start telling me you're taking baths with scented candles or we're going to drown you in that tub. I don't know. It's 20 years, but in the last, I'd say 10, it's really gotten big. Taking a bath with a candle, these scented candles. They got all kinds of urban renewal candles and herbal essence candles and hemp candles. We got a candle made out of tobacco, recycled urban myth candles. Yeah, all kinds of things, you know. And they are made out, and they're scented, and you can, you know, burn candles. So I said, so the guys came, they came with all these bloody candles, which is, of course, what she got from her girlfriend. She got a bunch of candles and this kind of jazz. I said, well, that's cool. What happened was it got very kind of bothered me a little, because the kids were coming up with all the gifts booze-related. Here's a martini shaker. Here's a bottle of wine. Here's a, okay, take all that stuff and put it back. Let's start all over again. I don't want anything having to do with booze. You and Mommy drink it all. I know. So they came back with their stuff, and I said, that's really cool, you guys. I think we did a good job here. You know, the kid who came around the corner with a painting of Benjamin Franklin came back with, still he had a painting, but it was something that was a little bit more, and the guys got the candle. What they wanted to get were, like, orange throw rugs and stuff. You know, they said, hey, well, let's get her one of these. That's a tapestry of, like, a Ming Dynasty castle. What the hell is she going to do? She can put it in the bathroom. She said she needs a floor mat. I put no Ming Dynasty freaking castle on a bathroom floor, and that thing's $500. Cool. So they wanted to do that, and then they wanted to buy, what else? Oh, I know what they came around the corner with. A pan flute. You know those flutes? How about this? What the hell's she going to do with that? You know, so you finally, yeah, what is she going to skip on one leg, you know, and just, do a Zamfir thing. So what you find is in kids when they first start buying presents, you know, they don't have a, you know, it's like a grasp of what it is to buy a present. It's something that's neat to them. I said, well, you got to think of, well, what kind of wine does mom like? I said, I don't know. You guys have lived with her longer than I have. Yeah, but we don't drink. You don't have to drink. It's about observing what she does. You know, so they'll see stuff. I heard one of them say, cool. And it's like a harmonica, and they're bringing it, and they're putting it. I said, guys, why? It's a present for mom. Why a harmonica? Is she going to play it? I don't know. It's just cool. That's great. If her name was Boxcar Willie, man, I'd say get 16 of them, okay? We're not going to do a harmonica. We're not doing a pan flute. We don't need the throw rug that is, you know, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. We don't need that. And then, of course, they bring the other stuff that, you know, like pots. Here, let's get this for mommy. It's a huge pot. And what is she going to do with it? She can cook us dinner. No, 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 no. Put that back, too. So 2 hours, you know, I'm kind of educating them. Well, what is it? It's got to be something that's kind of neat, you know, that she's going to like. And, of course, we're cost plus, so it doesn't cost a lot of money. And it's a, you know, something she'll really dig. You don't give her a big pot. Happy birthday. Now make me soup. And like all impulse buying, kids are the number one impulse buyers in the world. Which means when you're going to the checkout stand, there's all that crap at the checkout stand. There's National Enquirer, there's candy, there's all kinds of crap. The top impulse buyers in the world are kids. They're going to grab all this. Oh, look, we got to get this and get that. So the basket is full of Pez dispensers and Hershey's bars and gum until you can't see any. More gum in our family than you know what to do with. And magazines, all kinds of crap, right? So as soon as the impulse buying at cost plus are those pan flutes, and the impulse buying at cost plus are harmonicas and those little umbrellas and those little Japanese fans and stuff. So there, I come over there, there's like 15 Japanese fans in there. Well, we're going to get those for mom. She'll love them. She can fan herself while she's playing the harmonica. Yeah, that's right. I didn't think of it that way. It's a great idea. Yeah. Well, she's playing the pan flute, or maybe one other day she wants to play the harmonica, she can always fan herself. Uh-huh. And what's she going to do with that tiki torch? Well, you guys can put it in the bathroom when you're taking a bath. It's better than a candle. Right, okay. A burning kerosene torch in the bathroom, taking a bath. I got it. You're always making fun of us. Cut it out. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, I didn't get to the end of the thing, is that we got her that, candles, really cool little tea set that she likes tea. And then, of course, it comes down to Henry. Now, she's my wife. I'm an adult. I got no excuse. I got to come up with something. Now, yeah, I can buy diamonds and all that crap, but then that costs money, you know. And besides, I bought her something like that for Christmas. So I went next door. I go, geez, I don't know what. I mean, on Sunday night, we always like to read. I like to lay in bed and read. You know, that's what we do. So I bought her a book, but I didn't know what kind. So I bought her Liz Smith's memoir. And only because she admitted to being a lesbian. And I thought it would be interesting. Then I suddenly realized I didn't buy that book for Maria. I bought it for me. Hurry up and read that, honey, because I'd like to. Happy birthday, baby. Liz Smith's memoir. There you go. I don't know. And then I bought her a whole bunch of Mad magazines. I realized they're for me. And it's, you know, I'm no better than the kids. What am I going to do? It's exactly what I wanted, a book about a recalcitrant lesbian. Thank you so much. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We're just sitting here talking about what color your wife looks good in, right? Now, I wasn't saying what color my wife looks good in. I was telling Mike what color his wife looks good in. And that was getting scary. Then I'm telling Craig what color his girlfriend looks best in. And then he says to me, no, she looks better in this color. And then I said, well, what dress was she wearing at that Christmas party? He goes, some flower thing. I go, yeah. And then Melissa walks and goes, well, it was black and red. Like, you were only spending the whole night with her, and you didn't know what color dress she was wearing? Hey, Mike, what's a good color for my wife? Don't answer that. Thank you. So, I can't buy, you know, forget about going out and buying clothes for your wife or for your girl. I can't buy any clothes for women because I butcher that six ways to sub. Puce. Thank you very much. Hey, Maria. Yo. I bought a pantsuit for a girlfriend once, and that was jeans and a sweater. It was the stupidest, ugliest, freakiest looking thing, man. It was like brown, and it had like, it was chocolate brown or something. It was wrong. It had a stupid, idiotic design on it. And I had the wrong size, everything. Yeah, I know what color that she ought to wear. You know, like, I know what's a good color for my wife. I ain't going to buy no clothes for her. I don't know how to buy clothes. Like a banana yellow snakeskin, yeah, like what Colleen Kristen Brewster wears. She's just, she's there. But so I'm lousy. I shouldn't be talking to the kids, you know. But you remember buying a present, like when the kids are buying a present for the mom, bongo drums, you know. I mean, you can't do that, you guys. You got to have to get some. Why not? Let's get it. I get over there. What are these, man? These are bongos. It's for mom. What is she going to do with those? I should have just let them buy the bongo drums for her, and they'll get thrown out, or, you know, they'll sit. I'll use them. There's more stuff in the house that somebody else got for a present that I'd like to use, like the keyboard we got for the big kid. He didn't play it. I sit on that thing all the time messing around with it because it's got sampling. It's got everything. If we ever gave Maria bongos, you know what I mean? The kids are going to give her bongos, hubcaps, and a huge orange moo-moo. A big, loud orange moo-moo. Look, Mom, happy birthday. So anyway. And one thing, man, she gave me the big-time reprieve. We were supposed to go out someplace dancing tonight. She says, now let's just go and eat. I said, that's great. That's, you know. Anytime my wife wants to go to dancing, you want to take her, Craig? Because you like to dance. By the way, I got to look at how you dance, too. I'm a better dancer than you. No, anyway, so, did you see this? 100 albums in rock and roll history as judged in a poll of musicians, executives, and journalists by VH1. This was released yesterday. These are the 100 top albums. Now, keep in mind, I don't get upset when I read these polls. A lot of people go nuts. They go, why isn't this on there? And why isn't that on there? I understand. I understand that these lists are released in large part to get that kind of conversation going, to get people disagreeing and talking about it. So they have to put some ridiculous lists, ridiculous albums on there. For instance, the number one album on this list is the Beatles' Revolver. There isn't anybody in the world, in the known universe, that would say the Beatles' album Revolver is the greatest rock and roll album ever made, other than this collection of dwarks and dorks and dwarves that they got at VH1. Here are the albums that are not on this list. They've got 100 albums, and they've got Led Zeppelin 1, and they got Led Zeppelin 2, and they might have one or two other Led Zeppelin albums. Led Zeppelin 4 is not, they don't have Physical Graffiti on the list. Oh, they do. Okay, so they got Physical Graffiti, Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 2. They don't have Led Zeppelin 4 on this list. Now, I don't care because I didn't make the list. I'm not one of these guys. I don't know what they're thinking, and they can do whatever the hell they want to do. But Stairway to Heaven's on Led Zeppelin 4. I just thought I'd let you guys know. You can have any list you want, and it's not going to influence my record buying. But it seems to me, and I didn't spend 17 years as a disc jockey for nothing, I listened to Stairway to Heaven for hours and hours and hours, thousands of hours of my life. I've lost forever because it was spent listening to Stairway to Heaven, taking a pee break, having a cup of coffee, and coming back and saying, this is FM 107 WORJ, Central Florida's best rock. Ding, 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 ding. And here's Led Zeppelin, like they don't know. Like they have no clue. I finally said to a program director, I said, why do I got to back sell every record? Come on, you got to back sell the music because the people like it. I said, listen, man, If they don't know by now that that's a Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, what, you know, they're never going to know. There's no reason. I can save my breath. I can save just a small portion of my life, that portion of my life that would otherwise go into saying that was Led Zeppelin with Stairway to Heaven. I could be doing something else. Like what? Taking another breath. Lengthening my life that much. Now, the question is asked here from my friend, Mr. Schaefer. Why isn't Huey Lewis in the news on the list? Well, would you like to know? You got to be putting me on with that band. Anyway, Led Zeppelin IV is not on the list, and wasn't there? There's no Jethro Tull, and there's no Rush, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. And I say that only for myself and my friend, Mr. Schaefer, who's a Rush fan, and me, who used to be a Jethro Tull fan until I saw them in concert 3 months ago, and then I realized just how old and dead and dying we all are. Well, here's the list. They got the Beatles at number one, Nirvana, Nevermind at number two, the Beach Boys, Pet Sounds at number three, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On at number four, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced at number five, the Beatles, Rubber Soul at number six, Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life at number seven, the Beatles, Abbey Road at eight, Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde at nine, and number 10 is the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So there's one, two, three, four Beatle albums in the top 10. Huh? Every other album is basically a Beatle album. And I don't know, there's five in the top 11, because number 11 is the Beatles, which is the White Album. And, of course, being an old creep like me, an old baby boomer, I don't care. What I do really object to strenuously is Nirvana at number two. So that sucks. Now, moving on. No, seriously, Nirvana, whatever, but number two? I'm sorry, man. I don't care if they reinvented rock and roll with a further purveying of grunge, with a further expansion of American music at a time when the techno-pop of the British was ruling. Thank God for Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Nirvana, if for no other reason than we finally got the freaking Pet Shop Boys, Johnny Hates Jazz, and Depeche Mode out of our lives forever. Do you know how bad it was there for a while? I mean, you guys, you're not even really old enough to really remember. It was nothing but all them limeys through the 80s with that techno-pop crud. Everybody was saying it was good music, too. Aha, take on me, modern English. English beat, yeah, well, okay, they suck, too. All right, go ahead. Throw them in there. I don't care. All them British bands were ruling the roost. So when finally these cats came out of Seattle with their angst and their shotguns and their strange affinity with Neil Young, which I'll never get. Yeah, that Kaja Goo Goo bullcrap, get out of here. At least what they did is they turned the focus back to American music, and for the last 10 years, thank you, Jesus, it's been pretty much American music that's been happening, right? Name me a British band that's making it right now that's good. Oasis, they haven't been around for... Don't start talking to me about Oasis. They ain't been around for years. Bush? Blur, Moby, that bald-headed freak, that dance geek, just because you like dancing. All right, anyway, so then we move on here to, so that's what I'm talking about. I just, but I can't, I don't know. I don't think Nirvana was all that trend-setting. You guys are talking about grunge, okay, but Nirvana was just one part of that. All right, look at me like I'm an idiot. So then we go down this list here, and most everything on it is pretty, you would think that a music critic would like this crap, okay? They got, like, Joni Mitchell, Blue is number 13, and Dark Side of the Moon isn't on here until 51. Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, isn't on here. It's the 51st best album ever made in the history of rock and roll. Can you figure that one out? A lot of people would tell you that's the best album ever in the history of rock, Dark Side of the Moon. I wouldn't be one of them, but a lot of people, my wife would be. And Craig Taylor, another reason why you want to dance with her. All right, we'll be back with more of this really ponderous deciphering of this list. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, George Bush is nominated for his cabinet. Is it Linda Chavez? What's her name? Linda Chavez. Wasn't she on Channel 2 News? Oh, it's a different one. So she said, this is a Hispanic woman who I believe is going to be the Secretary of Labor. She said, there's no glass ceiling and sexual harassment lawsuits are just a bunch of crybabies. And I'm thinking, I think Bush, as I've always said, is going to make a damn good president. Because with these picks, we can go a long way. No, that was kind of surprising. I don't know. And then everybody was bellyaching about Eminem winning, or not winning, but being nominated for 4 Grammys because he's a homophobe. And I think before we start getting a little too far ahead of ourselves, you know, he ain't the first. Because if you count all of the Emmys ever given to any country singer in the history of music, I'm sure in there there's got to be one sheet wearer. And I'm not saying that country music's a bunch of Klansmen, okay? But you know for a fact that at least one of them can. How about just the way those guys look, man? They get out of those rhinestones and those big hats. They slip on a sheet. They go down and have a relaxing beer in the bowling alley. I don't want to mention any names, but Porter Wagner comes to mind. I'm kidding. You're going to start talking about Eminem being a homophobe and Eminem being a this and a that. Of course he is. Of course he's a dirtbag. He's also kidding. Just ask Melissa Morgan, one of our fine associate producers on this show, who is a huge Eminem fan, even though he hates women, thinks they all ought to be tied down and raped repeatedly. Melissa thinks he's cute. She thinks he's not only cute, she's now telling me that he's a genius, he's a poet, and he happens to be a felon. No, he's a lyricist. He's a satirist. Isn't that right, Melissa? He doesn't mean what he's saying any more than Allen Iverson means any of that bullcrap, any more than that nutcase John Rocker meant what he was saying, okay? Porter Wagner gave away sheets in boxes of Breeze, according to Melissa Morgan. Sheets with eye holes in them and points on the top. You know those, when you were a kid, they'd give away those sheets. Your mom would get the boxes of Breeze and get a sheet from Breeze. Beautiful fitted sheets. Well, Porter had the whole thing. You get yourself a sheet, got a point on the top, got little eye holes, place for your mouth. So don't be busting on Eminem just because the guy happens to hate fags, okay? You all did at one time in your lives, too, except for me. I've always been egalitarian. I've always been open-minded. I've always been a bullcrapper. All you guys, come on, he's only saying what you used to think. I thought what you're supposed to do as a singer is say what they're thinking now, not what we thought 20 years ago. Oh, okay. And that whole Allen Iverson punk, hey, who watches the NBA anyway except a bunch of black folks, young black folks, okay? I'm sorry, I don't watch the NBA anymore. Used to. I used to when there were a few white guys playing, and now those white stiffs they got out there. Well, Keith Van Horn, notwithstanding. I don't watch the NBA no more, but I don't watch those hockey nuts either. I don't want to watch a bunch of Canucks with no teeth beating each other over the head with a stick. A bunch of fat, corn-fed Canadian farm boys beating the crap out of each other, slicing each other's faces up with sticks and skates. Thank you. No thank you. There's only one sport for me. That's the National Football League. Because everybody there is as pure as the driven snow, except for that one guy for the Carolina Panthers who's on trial for murder. But other than that, and that one dude that raped his girlfriend. But other than that, it's a great game. Now, getting back to music. So this list, the top 100. Now, when I was a disc jockey, we had what we called pee break records. In Memory of Elizabeth Reed, 11 minutes. Stairway to Heaven, 7 minutes. A Light My Fire, 6.5 minutes. These were long records. You could go into the bathroom. You could get yourself a cup of coffee. You could go out to your car and get that extra pack of cigarettes that you left in the glove box. Oh, my God, I've locked myself out of the radio station. Riders on the Storm, 11 minutes. Nice, long. I think Riders on the Storm is about 10 minutes, actually. L.A. Woman, 7 minutes, 4 seconds. I know them all. Layla, don't tell me, 7 minutes, 14 seconds. I know them all, man. I know them all because I played them all. I played them all. I hated them all. Hudson Hawk. What scene from Hudson Hawk? He's naming all the links. I didn't see Hudson Hawk. Me and everybody else didn't see Hudson Hawk. Does he do that in Hudson Hawk? Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis? Was he a disc jockey? No. Well, the fact is, if you're a DJ, you know the lengths of these records because you use these to go and get your head together, catch a nap, whatever, you know, especially if you're doing an overnight show. But I went out one day, I went out to get a pack of cigarettes. I was locked out of the freaking radio station. locked out. I've seen guys go down the street to score. I don't want to say what station or when, but I know of a guy that got canned because he went down the street to score a rock. Okay, he put on a long record, goes down the street to score some rock cocaine, gets locked out of the radio station, so the record is just like over and it's like dead air and everybody finds out about it and then the cat gets fired and, you know, that's the end of that, right? I mean, you got to be out of your freaking mind. I think what the guy actually did was, oh my God, you know, the record's running out. So he tried to call somebody to go in and segue a record, and it was the kid who was, you know, scrubbing toilets, like the janitor. Well, what does he know? So he goes in there, and he went from this, whatever the track was he was supposed to be playing, Layla by Derek and the Dominoes. The guy grabbed any record, was like Robert Goulet, Everybody's Out of Town. It's not going to work. Everybody's out of town. So he got blown out. It turns out this guy was down the street scoring drugs. Now, me, I just was going out to my car to get the pack of cigarettes I had in my glove box, and I'm locked out. Okay, now what do you do? All right, it was in memory of Elizabeth Reed. The place is locked. Now, this is in the day and age before car phones. What do you think I did? I'm going to tell you what I did. I crawled up, and I busted a window out. You got that right, my friend, and I crawled through that busted window, and I went in there with cut, you know, glass all over me. I'm carved up. I crawl in there, and I, and that was the Allman Brothers, losing blood a quart a minute, and I put on another, I put on another long record and called an ambulance. But seriously, I busted that window out because it wasn't going to happen to me. And when the guy, if I called up my boss, I said, I got to tell you something. What, Phil? I went outside the radio station to my car. Yeah, and I went to get some smokes. That's as far as I went. I locked myself out. Are you still locked? No, I'm here. I'm in here now. But I had to bust out a window. And the dude said, you know what? That was very, very smart. You're fired, but it was very, very smart. And down the road I went from gig number 841. Now, that was in Orlando, and that was back in the 70s, and I won't say what station, but I mentioned it earlier today on this show. I mentioned the call letters earlier, so you can maybe take a guess as to which station. And no, I wasn't fired. I worked for some nice guys there. But, I mean, it, you know, all kinds of crap. These guys, and, of course, the guys that are getting busted bringing listeners into the radio station while their wives are waiting at home. I got a call from one guy's wife every 15 minutes. Is he gone yet? I'm sure he's leaving. Is he gone? I happen to know the guy was in an office down the hall with some 16-year-old listener that came by. And his wife's calling. Who wants that life? No wonder I got out of that freaking weird-ass business. And it's still going on. In fact, I miss it. This is talk radio where nothing like that ever happens. I don't understand. What kind of a show do you do? Well, we have characters that come on and we interact with... But that's not news talk. No, I guess it isn't. Well, then what are you trying to do? Well, we're trying to get people to laugh, have a couple of giggles. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead, crucify me for trying to get people to laugh. Well, you're not talking about the issues of the day. No, we're not talking about the issues of the day. We're simply trying to get people to smile when they're driving home. You want to hang me out to dry, baby? Go ahead. Stretch me across the hood of the car. Run me off the cliff. Well, you're still fired, Phil. All right. Thought I'd try. 1-800-449-8686. You can listen to the unedited version of the Rose Parade, www.philhenryshow.com. This is the last announcement I'm going to make, and then we're pulling it off the website. Because we have received complaints. Now, I figured if you're paying for it, you got no right to complain about it. Because we're telling you up front, it's unedited. But even though we tell people up front that it is unedited, even though we tell people up front that it is vile and that it is offensive to many people, they're still buying it, and they're still complaining about it. So we've decided to pull it off the site after today. So if you want to listen to it, www.philhenryshow.com. This is The Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to bring on now Mavis Leonard is joining us, and Mavis lives in Bellflower, California, and she's also a member of Joyful Union Congregation Church. How are you, Mavis, dear?
I'm ready to say, and I want to say a Happy New Year to you, because I did not have a chance to tell you.
Thank you very much, and a Happy New Year to you. It is time now for interesting tidbits from Mavis Leonard.
That is correct. This is interesting tidbits for today, January the 5th, year 2001. A 23-year-old Brazilian rapist in prison for his crimes cut off his own penis with a razor blade, according to local news. Flavio dos Santos Cruz was alone in his cell yesterday when he cut himself and cut off his own penis and was sedated by prison guards who responded to his screams and found him lying there, writhing on the floor, but they could not find his penis because he had cut his own penis off and tried to flush it down a toilet. Doctors said there's no chance to try to get his penis reattached, cut off at the shaft, because it had been flushed and they can't find the penis that he cut off.
Okay.
What?
About six times in that story you told us, I got it already, okay?
Kind of bother you, don't it?
Yes, it bothers me. It would bother any man. Go ahead.
All right. Our next story has to do with a woman getting revenge on her husband. A woman has been convicted of assault with a weapon after slicing open her husband's scrotum with a diamond ring, leaving one testicle exposed and dangling. Julie Sherlock was found guilty on Wednesday. The soft-spoken victim testified the incident made him realize his relationship with her was not working. They have since split up. And I think sometimes, as an editorial comment, it takes a moment like that for you to realize your relationship is not working. So I think he's very courageous and very intelligent.
What are you talking about?
What?
Of course he realizes their relationship isn't working.
But I think it's very courageous.
What's courageous about a guy splitting up with a girl who tried to cut his thing off?
Well, I you know, you are very emotional right now.
Well, yeah, I'm emotional. You're telling me as an editorial comment that this guy has courage.
I tell you who's been split up.
What?
You know who's been split up?
Who?
His testicles got split up. Because one of them was dangling up.
I got it. Go ahead. What's the next story?
All right. Sometimes obtaining evidence is not easy. Police in the southeast Missouri town of Cape Girardeau were reminded of that after a 19-year-old suspect allegedly swallowed five plastic bags full of crack cocaine. They had to put a hose up his rear end and hose it out.
Okay, God.
You know, you keep it...
I'm interrupting you because interesting tidbits. This is week three for this. A guy cuts his penis off. Another guy gets his scrotum slit open. And another guy gets an enema because he's got crack cocaine up his rear end. I thought this was going to be community news.
That's exactly what it is, community news.
How is that community news? Getting his penis cut off?
In the community of Sao Paulo, Brazil, that's community news. You know.
And I guess in Cape Girardeau, that guy having the tube up his rear end. And I guess in Kent, Ontario, the guy getting his scrotum. That's all community news, huh?
They washed the crack right out of that guy's crack. You know, that was that was my big line. This has been interesting tidbits. I'm Mavis Leonard. Thank you for listening. Phil Henry, you talk about someone needing a hose up his rear end. You are a real guy.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not kidding, because I think you ruined the whole segment.
Look, interesting tidbits is supposed to be interesting tidbits for the community, not some guy cutting his own penis off and getting his scrotum cut open, okay?
You are a real... Man, what a man.
Oh, there. Okay, see, there she hung up, yeah. You know, and you can kill the music now, too. Next time we have her on with her interesting tidbits, could we maybe get some real community news? A man cut off his own penis. And not only that, she's beating it into the ground. I mean beating the story, not beating... Never mind. I apologize.
This is absolutely the sickest woman I have ever heard.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, because...
What you want to do for yourself is fine. What you want to teach young people to do is wrong.
I am trying to get girls to have thinner thighs.
Let me tell you something. I'm a size 2, and I'll wear your banana pants suit and match you tit for tat. I'm 56 years old. I have never purged.
It is a banana yellow pantsuit with snake skin.
And you know what, honey? I'll look just as good as you will, only I won't have to purge.
I'm 38,
and what you
want to
do is your, what you want to do is your business, but not what you want to do to young people. That is wrong.
I am 38, 21, 30. I'm 38. You know what? You're really making me angry. But I want to demonstrate to you this is how easy. Have you ever purged? Have you ever maintenance purged?
Never.
Okay,
never.
Watch.
And
watch
you,
and listen.
I don't want to watch
and learn.
But I'll tell you what I will do. You put put me on your cruise, and let's see how many people go my way and how many people go your way.
Okay, I am so cute, first of all. And you know why I'm cute?
Why?
Because there's vomit on the front of my blouse.
Bill. When they say, repent, I wonder what they mean. When they say, repent, I wonder what they mean. When they say, repent, I wonder what they mean.
A man has penis cut off.
I got it already.
You an ass.
Give me that burning wall. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. Give me Christ or give me Hiroshima. Destroy another fetus now. We don't let children in our house.
Are you nuts?
The future, baby. It is murder.
Are you nuts?
I think it's kind of sick.
Nothing you can't measure anymore. The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's overturned the order of the soul. When they say,
Bill Henry.